thank you both so much for making some time. I'm really excited to have this chat and talk about this stuff because it's so interesting to me, and I think for a lot of people too. Just this idea that, as we were talking before, there are a million ways for people to have a meal and to feed people, and everybody has kind of their own little spin on it. And you guys are doing things kind of in a different way, or started off doing it in a different way. And I guess just to start off, I'll start with you, Chris. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about getting into the restaurant business. What made you want to do that? And just a little bit of backstory.
Well, I never really wanted to get into it. I didn't. But getting up here, and there's no Italian hoagies, so I had to make my own. So that's kind of how that started. And I don't know, a friend of mine, Peter, saw an old food truck on the side of the road, and he said it was I should buy it, so we did. It was $4,000. We bought it, and that was over 20 years ago.
And that's the part, because mm-hmm. I can see it in your eyes. You're talking about, I didn't want to get into the food business. This was just something.
No, it
kind of happened, but then happened. All of a sudden, 20 years later, how does 20 years happen by accident?
Well, I don't know. I must have got hit in the head with a 2x4 or something. Or is that weed they got out there in Casillas?
No.
Those hippies grow some good stuff out there. You take one hit, you end up on another planet, you know, another universe, and you can't get out. I've been stuck there ever since. I'm still there. I don't know.
Next thing you know, you got a restaurant in Sedona, a restaurant in Kenai. And
yeah, it must have been some good stuff, huh?
Well, because when you and I were talking, it's been 20 years is a long time in the restaurant business.
Yeah, it's challenging.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about just, you know, what your thoughts are kind of looking back a little bit.
Well, it's good in the beginning because you're excited and you got the energy and the drive and you're young and it's a challenge. But, you know, as you get older, it's more like a job sometimes. And get sometimes a little bit too big, maybe, I don't know.
But there's some passion that goes into it, too. I mean, there has to be something there.
Financially, it's not like the best thing to do, but it's minimum wage, really. If you think about the hours you put in, and anybody who owns a restaurant knows that. But
yeah.
I guess the best part is the kids. They can be the worst and the best. The kids, you know, when you teach them and train them, and some do real well, and they come back, and you see them years later, and they're... And they say, yeah, this is the best job I ever had. And I'll tell you, there's some fun times with some of these kids. Boy, they do the darndest things, don't they?
To say the least.
Yeah. But anyway, that's been good. So that part's been really good. It's been rewarding in that part.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't know. It's like I say, it's being married. You're married to it.
Yeah.
You're married.
When you talk about having kids working for you all these years, though, that's a way that sort of in puts your business as really a part of the community and kind of ties it into things. And that's important. It takes time.
Yeah. You know, you always, it's pretty neat. You know, you get a lot of donations, people. It's good. That's a good thing too, when you can help people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like cabins burn down or somebody gets cancer or something like that. And it's a good community. That's a good thing about here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good.
Chris, as the person who's been doing this for a long time, and Joe, you're kind of just getting off the ground. Tell us a little bit about your adventure in the food biz and what you've been up to.
Well, last summer I started Joe's Meatball Shop, food truck, in the park on Wednesdays, and kind of just bounced around and opened whenever I could. It just kind of as a side job, and as I got busier and busier, I kind of was able to put all my focus into it, and and that kind of developed into what we now are. We're now Three Peaks Mercantile. We still have some of Joe's Meatball stuff throughout the company. Not company, I guess. It's just two of us goofing around making fun food. But we're just ready to have something new in our town as well. So different.
Chris started his business because he saw a niche or something around here that he wanted and it wasn't here. Why did you decide to start flinging meatballs and other delicious things?
Similar reason. That was something I love, a good meatball shop wherever I'm going, and that was something I was like, we don't have in town. Definitely some good meatballs. Literally the week before I opened, I went and grabbed a meatball sub at three different places, and yours was one of them, of course.
But we have homemade ones now. We were getting a frozen product from Teddy's Tasty Meats out of Anchorage.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually pretty good for a frozen product. It was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
But right now I'm making my own, and actually I'm still tweaking it, but I like the meat and the blend and the flavor that I have. It's just par cooking it and freezing it and still maintaining quality is really hard to do.
Absolutely.
So other than if you're going to make them right fresh every day, that's one thing. But if you have several stores and you got to be able to thaw them out and bake them and cook them, and they got to be good. But, but we got good bread, we got good cheese, we got a good sauce. And I think we're nailing it, except for I just got to do a little better job on the consistency on the homemade meatballs. And so like our bread, we were going to do a par-baked bread where I could open some stores in Anchorage, Palmer, Wasilla. So you basically you age your dough and you bake it for 3/4 of the way, blast freeze it, and then take it out of the freezer and you can put it on a plane and heat it up for 5 minutes. But that's been a challenge in itself. Uh-huh. And but anyway, it's tough. Quality is a big thing. Just like him. He knows what he wants. He wants a good meatball. And you don't want... it's tough.
Yeah.
This is not something that comes out of the freezer that, you know... You got to have some love in it, which is probably what he's doing. I haven't had a meatball yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to his meatballs.
Well, so that's something else we were talking about is you know, there's kind of a couple ways to go about it when you're talking about serving food and getting people to come back for that food. And one way is to find something that really that people want, and to figure out how to do it well and do it well time and time again, time and time again.
Yep.
Another way to do it is, your kind of model is this, is to continuously be changing it up and bring people in for something different all the time. Mm-hmm. But the quality aspect remains the same, because a bad meal, even if you're never expecting a bad meal, and if it's a bad meal, it's a bad meal. Mm-hmm. But that's, I don't know, what do you guys think about that? Is there kind of two different ways to go about getting people in, or what do you think about that?
Well, consistency is good, but if I went to a restaurant for the first time and it wasn't good, I probably wouldn't go back. But if I've been someplace and, you know, then after 4 or 5th time somebody forgot the oil and vinegar or the oregano, or, you know, they messed up bad, then you go, okay, they might have had a bad one, you know, or they burnt the cheese or something. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that happens. But then when, like I say, consistency, quality, training... Training is really tough. I mean, I'm always training, constantly training.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one there. Yeah, it's real tough.
That's something that I have to imagine over the years, that's kind of evolved a little bit. You have probably at this point a pretty good system when you bring somebody new in, showing them the ropes and figuring everything out.
Yeah, I was hoping that, see if you, sort of theory as if you get really good product, even if they put it together, it's going to be better. If they screw it up, it's going to be better than where they get at the other place. So if you got top of the notch bread, top meat, top cheese, top veggies, if you can, you got to maintain quality. I mean, if you got all the best ingredients, even if they screw it up, hopefully it'll be better than somebody else's.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's really kind of
so
it.
So solid.
But hopefully, if you can get everybody to put the right amount of oil and vinegar, the right amount of oregano, and cut the bread the right way, and bake it and cook everything right, then it's great. But it's hard to do, like I say.
Can you go, do you enjoy going into other sandwich shops?
I don't usually go in, and there aren't any around here.
Well, there aren't any around here, I guess.
No.
And but you I run your own, yeah, yeah, I was going to say, you run your own restaurants. It's not like you have time to be traveling all over the world
trying
new
stuff. Well,
when
I do, I'm not going to eat a Philly cheesesteak. I mean, I've been to Philly, I had their Phillies, and I know what I like about theirs, and I know what I don't like about theirs. So ours are a little bit different for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, everybody, some places chop up your onions with the meat, and some places put like a pizza steak with marinara sauce. But if you have your mushrooms, peppers, and onions, which is the works, then they can say, I don't want onions, or I don't like peppers, or I don't like mushrooms. But so that's why we don't cook the onions in with the meat, which some places do. And and we don't use Cheese Whiz. We tried that. People don't buy it. I mean, they weren't buying it, so
I never understood that.
The Cheese Whiz deal. But anyway,
I want to ask you this too. I'm interested in, you know, how we go from this kind of a spark of an idea and this little, you know, almost, it's not even a hobby, because I mean, as soon as you get started on something like this, it becomes way more than a hobby. But, you know, making those decisions to go in your case, Chris, from, you know, a bus out in Kasilof to, you know, a place in Soldotna, now a place in Kenai. And how do you make that decision to keep?
Well, now it's for sale. That's so that's when you want to buy it. The thing is, you got to have an exit strategy, and we don't have an exit strategy. So I'm just still working it, you know. So actually, I'd like somebody to buy it and new blood, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, we designed it to have, we paid a franchise feasibility guy like $7,000 over 11 years ago. So we were going to sell franchises. And that's why I want to have, like, you know, 10 to 13 stores all over the state. That was the plan. But and I got a blast freezer and everything to do it, but I just kind of burned out really.
Yeah.
And it's just having running three stores is really all I can handle right now.
Yeah.
So if I had even somebody that knew what they were doing, they could come in and buy it and expand it, which would be great. And I'd help them. But, you know, it's time for new blood. So, yeah, 20-some years is enough. It's time. And like I said, you're married to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you sleep with it. You go, you know, you wake up thinking about it, you know.
Well, and we should mention that that Kathy is a part of this.
Yes, I got a partner.
Yeah. The venture, too, yeah.
Yep. And she runs that one in Soldat, and then I run Kenai and Casillo in the summer. I got a good manager there in Kenai, too. But it's, like I said, it's just a lot of hours, you know. And and you're lucky you have good people.
Yeah.
And we do have some good people, and that's key. If you got some key good people where you can actually walk away for a while, you know.
But I'm curious about, you know, that decision to go, all right, is it just you're overwhelmed by the volume and you go, there's no way we can't open another location.
That's basically
Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, that's it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. People want one in Homer and they want one in Anchorage. They want one here. They want one there, which is great. But and I'm like, hey, buy it, man. I'll help you open one up, man. Right?
I know how these things work. If you want to.
Yeah, I'll help you.
Absolutely.
Well, Joe, I'm curious about your idea for growth and especially hearing, you know, from someone who's been in the business for a while, you know, what are your plans for, do you have an exit strategy?
No.
See?
Every time I look at, at business plans, I'm like, all right, wait. Nah, we'll look at that later. It's fine.
No, you need a business plan.
For sure. But more so the exit strategy that are all on the
exit, that would be nice. But
for sure. Yeah. And that's, I'll usually turn the page by then.
But I mean, your business plan started kind of similarly in a you know, kind of a seasonal mobile location.
Yeah.
Doing this one sort of thing. And you know, what's your...
I definitely initially started without a business plan, very much just like, all right, there's a truck. I want to do it. Let's just jump in. Mm-hmm. And then it became a ton. And it definitely, I was expecting just to do it as like a little side project while I was still working other jobs. And it definitely took all my focus, which was awesome. And I think that's kind of where I'd like to go, is just get to a place where I can, I don't necessarily see myself necessarily expanding too much more other than one shop, just enough to keep myself as busy as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have just a little bit more specific things and just be able to expand and do other things. Like I have my supper club as well that keeps me really busy, and I'd love to expand that, I think, more than even necessarily mercantile stuff.
Again, getting back to this idea of trying to do it a little bit differently to keep things fresh, either for you or for the customers or for whomever, this supper club concept, I had never really heard of this supper club concept. And talk a little bit about that. What is that? How long have you been doing it?
I did a lot of research. There's a lot of different versions of what a supper club is. Everyone has a different concept. Like growing up, my parents in their in church, they had like a group that they would meet every week, and they would either go out or go to someone's house, and that was their, that was a version of a supper club. What ours is it's just you meet at anyone can join this kind of group where we post these events that we're doing, and it's usually they're in someone's home or a small local venue. We try to keep it pretty small and intimate. We keep around a dozen people so that it really is community building and just something, just a fun night out. And then it also gives me and my business partner, Jesse Hughes, a chance to really dig out all these funneled recipes and do research and create a meal that we wouldn't necessarily be able to do in this little mercantile pop-up space, but we can do in a really great few course meals just for a dozen people.
Yeah. And so, do you see that moving ahead? Do you see that as, you know, like a vehicle for the other side of the business? Hey, come to the Cyber Club. And then also,
I think so. The more we've talked about, like, where do we want to expand to when we start looking at permanent locations? Do we want to do a dinner service? Or I think we're more so realized that we really want to focus on bakery, breakfast and lunch, and then have the whole dinner concept purely be run into these supper clubs. It's been a phenomenal response from people who have come to them, even though we've only been doing about once a month the last few months.
Yeah.
But it's been, we've been selling out all of our tickets each time, and that the group has been growing and people have been talking, and it's been really exciting to see such a positive response to that concept here.
Yeah. So in sitting here and hearing Chris talk a little bit about his years in the business, does that make you...
He's still young.
Man. I am.
He's got a long way to go, man.
No, I mean, it just makes me excited.
See, he's still excited. That's, yeah. That's it. You got the drive, man.
Yeah.
But look at the supper club. Is it profitable? I mean, if you do that for fun, that's great. But you're going to have your breakfast and lunch bring your money in.
Absolutely.
And maybe if you can, and you might, you know, because you're going to be working breakfast and lunch, and then you think you're going to work dinner too. I mean, wait till what, 10 or 11 at night? Go ahead and then wake up and do breakfast again. But you think about the supper club. I mean, is it profitable? And maybe, like you say, if you do it once a month, that's great. But Yeah, you'll probably burn out just like me.
Oh, I'm sure.
You will.
Well,
you will.
Oh, yeah, that's inevitable.
Did you have restaurant experience and chops coming into
deli?
Your dad, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and that's why I miss the hoagies.
Yeah.
I miss hoagies, yeah.
Well, that explains a lot then. Yeah. That explains a lot because there's very much a connection to home with that.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if and what about you, Joe? Did you have kitchen experience before you got off on your own?
I've been working in restaurants all over in Manhattan, LA, Sacramento.
Really?
Yeah.
This I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And so your little, how many square feet is this over here? Do you know roughly?
Like
not many.
Not much. Like 8 by.
Where is it?
No more than. Literally this front area right
here. Yeah, this
right
little sunroom.
Like, oh, that's it right there.
Yeah.
Yep. See, I walked right through it.
10 by 5, yeah, exactly.
So big booming restaurants to 10 feet by 5 feet
exactly.
And no running water.
Yes, correct. Definitely a simple pop-up.
Yes. Well, for both of you, is there a piece of advice that you wish when you took your first job or when you first opened your shop, is there a piece of advice that you wish somebody would have had told you from the get-go that would have made things a lot easier?
Actually, I used to have landscape businesses, and I took care of some people that owned restaurants, and all three of them said the same thing. Don't do it. Don't do it. And they were right in a way. I mean, but it's actually, I don't even remember, Bub's Pizza coming.
Sure.
With, the guy that owns the flats. Nice guy come in. Bub says, Chris, what's his name? I forget his name. Anyway, he wants to open a restaurant. What's his name?
Luke.
That's the first thing I said. I said, don't do it. First thing. That's what those people told me. I said, look, it's going to be long hours. It's going to be stressful. It's not going to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really hard on your family life. And I think he's found that out. I don't know. But he did say that a year later.
You do sacrifice a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, it's stressful in your relationship. It is a lot of hours. Anyway, it's a tough thing to do. I don't recommend people getting into it. Or if I did do it, I would do like he does. Start small. Start with the $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 investment, and you blow it, you're not out so much.
Mm-hmm.
But you go and borrow $200,000, $150,000, and you put in the hood system and all this, and then you fail. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a terrible way to go. Now you're in debt.
Now you're in debt, and now you're maybe 10 years down the road, and it's that much more difficult just in life to start over.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd find another job doing something else. But yeah, the restaurant business. That's why when we looked into, we went to the EDD Economic Development District.
Sure,
and,
sure.
The lady there did it. She didn't really help us that much, but we did do a business plan. You got to figure out how much is your rent, how much is your electric, how much is your insurance, how many customers are going to bring in, and we did hit our goal there. You know, with the business plan. And just kept growing, but you should have a business plan. I would start one out because people don't think about it. They really they don't think about the insurance and the phone and the electric and the gas,
totally,
and all that. And you're going to have breakdowns and equipment and repairs, and people don't really. You really have to put that down on paper to mm-hmm. see where how much you have to make in order just to break even.
Yeah. So maybe the answer to that question, if there's a piece of advice, maybe the answer is that learn how to be just a jack of all trades when you're going to get into this because.
Or know somebody.
Yeah,
and trade.
That's true.
If you can trade, you know, refrigeration guy, if you can. But I don't trade with them. But
yeah.
Some people, carpenter, plumber, you know, if you need somebody, you know.
I'm glad you brought that up because in looking into this, I know years ago, the Small Business Development Center someplace did a little spotlight on you guys. And talking about your story and that same thing, having some connections to people, like getting that bus off the ground, knowing somebody that works at DEC who can tell you what you need to do there. Little things like that.
Those were a kick, the DEC people. Oh, yeah, the health inspector. Oh, boy, I can tell you stories about them guys. Actually, most of them are really good, but it's the people from Lower 48 that come in.
Mm-hmm.
And they see this bus. They see a building wrapped around it. And the lady comes in, she goes, so... How long you been here? And I says, oh, we have no insulation, no drywall, nothing, just a bus inside. I said, oh, about 20 years. And she goes, no, really, how long you been here? I says, yeah, about 20 years. So I left, I go to make the sandwich, and I hear her go, I don't know why he won't tell us how long he's been here. You know, because that's the way it's Alaska, man.
Yeah.
It's Alaska.
Yeah.
She goes, well, this would never fly in California.
Well
of course not.
You're not in California.
Yeah.
You're in Casilla. That's
it's
right.
It's great. So it's pretty fun, too. The entertaining. The tourists are fun. I like to bend their leg.
I want to come back to that part of it, because I bet that's a lot of fun. But then I just lost my train of thought. I was going to ask you something I just asked.
By DC.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, just in getting your plan off the ground, I'm sure I know that networking has been a big part of it. And for you, social networking, too. My God, there's a whole other world.
Yeah, that has been something fun that honestly, that was a huge part of this business for my part. Just because I starting out with such a low budget, doing something so small, social network was something that I have experience in. And so it was easy for me to just jump in. And really, I've networked pretty hugely that's not a word. But it's really has been huge to make all of this come together and bring in quite a bit of business when the majority of my publicity is all on social media.
Yeah.
That's been cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that wasn't a thing that didn't even exist 20 years ago. It wasn't even a consideration.
No.
Maybe by now it's not. Your business is established to the point where it doesn't have to be, because that's a whole other stack of headaches to manage that stuff.
But I don't. I'm too old for that. I don't do computers. I need a kid to do that. You're right. You need to get in there. I don't even have a, what do you call them, a web page? Or somebody made me one. Yeah. Whoever made it's still been there for like I don't know how many years.
I love it.
I don't go in. Do I have to change the prices or something? You know, then you got to be careful. Those companies like Single Platform and whoever and Yelp and stuff, and you just pay them to make you look good and stuff like that. I don't do that. I mean, I tried Single Platform once, and then Yelp keeps calling me. I'm like, no, it's okay. You know, if somebody writes something bad, they write something bad. Somebody writes something good, they write something good. You just okay. So we screwed up on somebody's hoppish drum. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. That happens.
Yeah.
But majority of them are good. The majority of them are good. Oh, I wish we had one of these here or there. You know?
Yeah.
So most of it's good, but it is what it is. I just let it go. But like social media, I don't do it. But I should, because I don't know how.
Without a social media post, I'd crave me your sandwiches. Like, you've established yourself so well.
Yeah, we're established already. We don't need that. Yeah, I guess.
Well, and you can't.
From nothing. That's really what's important to me. And
yeah.
It's worked really well.
Yeah, you got to build it up. And that's what you're doing. That's good.
And at the end of the day, until somebody's actually tasted what you're doing, kind of,
and then they'll tell somebody else.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huge.
I'm so glad that you brought up the tourist part of it, because I know for people who don't live on the peninsula, I'm sure that stopping by your bus in Kisilov in the summer is like an annual thing at this point. Do you have regulars?
Yes,
summer after summer.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I bet you do.
Yeah, the same ones. Some are really pretty funny, actually. Yeah, I had some old folks from Minnesota come up, and they didn't catch any fish. And I just happened to have some friends drop me off some fish. And they were eating salmon. What are you guys having for dinner? They go, I don't know. We didn't catch any fish. I said, well, who catches the fish? Well, she says, they do. And I clean them. I go, you clean the fish? So the guys catch it, and she cleans it. Are you good at filleting fish? Oh, yeah, I'm good. Well, let's see. So there's other tourists in there. And I go out back. I take out the newspaper, bring a fish out, right? I put it on the table. All the other tourists come out, and they're out watching this old lady. But I give her a nice sharp fillet knife. I give her gloves and everything. And she cuts into it, and blood starts squirting. The little kids are like, and the parents are like taking the little kid away. It's hilarious. And this lady, she's just hacking at that salmon. I mean, hack, hack. I'm like, oh, my God, good thing that thing's dead. I feel sorry for it. I said, here, give me that knife. Hold on before you kill yourself. So anyway, I took the knife away from her and just flipped it over, and I cleaned it up. But, yeah, she hacked the hell out of it. But at least I got fish for dinner.
But
it was fun. And I know they're still talking about it. So,
sending them home with memories.
They got memories. And mine too. So it was good. And everybody's. It's fun.
That sounds like that's probably one of the top bus experience.
Oh, I don't know. There's been so many. But no, I can't think of them all, to be honest with you. But that was just a couple years ago. So that a year or two. So that was hilarious.
Yeah. And that's, as you said, that place has been... Has that been every single summer? Have you ever gotten to take a summer off and just focus every year?
Every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took a 4th of July off 2 years ago. A buddy of mine has a claim up in the Summit Lake, and that was fun. I took actually the whole day off and went underwater, and it was a blast, but I was so sore. And I used to prospect like 30 years ago out in Eagle. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, and it was a blast. But now I figure out how old I am. One day underwater with the weights and the moving the rocks and all that. But yeah, I mean, I did have a day off there, but I usually don't. No,
yeah.
It's pretty much
wall to wall. Yeah,
it's 7 days a week. Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and as we're talking, and I'm sure that you notice this too. We're getting up very close to Memorial Day, and do you guys both, either of you, notice like that weekend kind of switches on, and here we go.
Well, how many years have you been doing this, Joe?
This is new for me. This
is the first one?
Last summer I started midsummer, so
okay.
This is my first
Okay.
Memorial Day being business.
Oh, all right. So what's he got to look forward to?
We usually close because everybody else does. And a lot of people, serious. They're out. They got their barbecues. Totally. They got their grills. They got cooler, fuller beer. They're out camping. And they're not. I didn't make money. I've tried it, and I didn't do it. And I've had people go, man, you should have been open 4th of July. It was sunny. There's people everywhere, all over your place. I didn't know what they were doing. They're meeting there in Casilla on the corner. And then they're going, because I've been open, and I make less money on 4th of July or any other holiday than I would any other day.
Interesting.
So I just take off, just like everybody else. And then you have to pay overtime, give everybody debt. You're not going to make money, or not much.
Yeah.
So that was kind of it. And every once in a while, I go, you know what? I'm going to open this holiday. And it never works. Never. Even though I've tried it a few times on and off, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Just take off the holiday, just like everybody else.
Getting back to that idea of social media and kind of reaching out and trying to, is that something that you're cognizant of, is trying to capture some of those tourists that are coming through? I mean, we're in your little shop here right on the Sterling Highway, just a couple blocks from Jersey Subs. And is that something that you're cognizant of trying to tap into?
Definitely. Like, that's something like I definitely have been trying to. Like, I definitely am reaching out to locals on social media, making sure I have a good
base there.
But I also make sure I'm constantly reaching out to other, like, being followed by other tourist groups and other things from all over. Or just, like, I know personally, like, my Instagram is just lots of restaurants from all over that make food that I'm, like, I enjoy looking at. And so I really try to make sure that if there's people who are like, okay, well, what's going on in Salatna? If I'm going somewhere, a lot of times I'll flip real quick and look on their Instagram and just see either the hashtag Salatna or the location and kind of look at some local restaurants. So I make sure that I'm using not just kind of some more general posts and things like that, so that people hopefully will kind of use clickbait to kind of make sure they actually click on my profile and maybe when they're coming to town, kind of plan, like, oh, I want to make sure I can hit up that place that has really good sourdough, or that place that has...
Have you run into any of that? I mean, even at the local level, people that have been exposed to you on social media and then come in through that?
Yeah.
Honestly,
that's the majority of the people who show up. They're like, oh, or I just meet people like, oh, you're the meatball guy. I follow you on Instagram. So, I get that a lot.
Yeah, that's interesting to me that you sort of... I would chalk it up to it being 2019 and it's social media land, and it's not just I have a business, it's I am the business. That seems like a kind of a different thing.
At least for me, a little bit. Like, just because it is pretty tied.
Yeah.
He needs signage. He needs signage.
Absolutely.
Nobody knows. I didn't know he was here. I never knew. He needs a sign, and it'll get taken by the sign Nazi. She will. She'll take it. And then don't put a lot of money into your sign. Because if you want it back, you have to pay $50.
Yep.
And she'll take your sign down to the DOT here across the DOT. Yeah, the state. Yeah, she comes down about once or twice a year and she steals everybody's signs. So you can't have that close to the road. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it.
Yeah.
To me, you should put an illegal sign out there. You know, just don't put a lot of money into it unless you want it.
Yeah.
You want to keep it.
Well, it's it kind of related to that. Soldatna spent a year trying to figure out different sign rules.
Rules are just ridiculous. Like I said, don't make too nice of a sign. Seriously. But you're in the city. See, I was out in Casilla, and they would steal my sign every year. And every year I tried to get it back, you know. And eventually I'd push it back a little further and further, and now they leave me alone. But
Figure out where that right of way is.
Yeah, but they used to have a thing where you could put your sign on wheels. So if it was movable, like a trailer with a sign, well, now you can't get away with that anymore. They don't let you, you know what I'm saying, a trailer that says, hey, Joe's, you should have a sign out there that says, "Great Joe's Great Meatballs."
Yeah.
And somebody will pull in and try it. Mm-hmm. They got to try it, because if somebody likes meatballs, but nobody even knows you're here.
Yeah.
So you need a sign, big time. And just put "Great Joe's Great Meatballs." That's all you need. You know, it's red on a white sign, so it stands out and people see it.
Yeah.
Simplicity. Yeah. Jersey Subs.
Right.
I'm not from Jersey, but I know exactly what that is, or I have a pretty darn good idea of what that is. Was that sort of behind the idea when you got started that this is a very definite thing, and I want it to just be this?
Mainly, it was the Italian hoagie. But as far as the name goes, my mom said she'd call it Jersey Subs. I don't know if that was because of New Jersey. I had a dog named Jersey, and a lot of people thought we named it after the dog. But I think my mom just said call it. We didn't know what to call it, so we just called it Jersey Subs. But you can't say hoagies because nobody knows what hoagies are. So they just drive right by. So it was Subs. Everybody knows what a sub is. Well, they also call them grinders, and there's a bunch of names: po-boys or what, heroes or submarines or whatever. So yeah, it was just Jersey Subs. Actually, we had it trademarked, the name, way back.
Nice.
And there's a several Jersey subs. There's one in West Virginia. There's one in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And I think there's one in Seattle. But anyway, you know, yeah, we have it trademarked. But I don't care. You know, they have the same name, but they could.
Yeah.
So, but if it ever grows and somebody starts selling franchises, then they might say, you know, they open a franchise in Seattle or West Virginia next to the Jersey subs. They're going to make them change your name or something. I don't know. If it ever gets that big, that'd be great. I'd love to see somebody do it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see somebody make it go.
When did you start thinking in those terms of maybe this is a franchisable idea? Maybe this is something
right off
that
the
could
get go.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
From the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I want Italian hoagie. I think we should make them everywhere. And you can't get them. You can't. Well, the hard one, you couldn't get the materials. And two, a lot of people didn't know how to make the bread. And three is putting it all together. So you couldn't even buy the flour to make the bread. And then you got to learn how to make the bread. You got to age the dough. And then you got to get the right meats. They didn't have sell capicola up here. Nobody even knows what it is. Matter of fact, they didn't even have peppercinis and banana peppers up here until I swear to God. We had a special order from Country Foods, peppercinis and banana peppers by the gallon. And now you can buy them in the grocery store, which is great. I'm glad it's catching on. I'm glad people are using peppercinis and banana peppers.
Yeah.
And a lot of people still don't know what capicola is, but still. Or gabagool is what they call it in Jersey. It's gabagool.
Right.
But anyway. Yeah. So, getting the product.
Yeah. Something.
But if you put it all together right, and I thought they'd sell no matter where you go, you know, because everybody, I mean, once they bite into them Italian hoagies, you can't beat them. I mean.
Salt, acid, fat.
Yeah.
Good bread, good meat, good cheese,
yeah.
good veggies, and you put it together, right? It's something that you'll remember. It's like a party in your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, and totally. I told a guy one time at lunchtime, I says, oh, he goes, I love these Bazzios. They're called Italian hoagies. Mm-hmm. I says, you should try them with beer. He goes, what? Yeah, they're real good with beer, like with pizza. His wife comes in a week later. It's all your fault. My husband's drinking at noon now. I said, oh, sorry, man. But, you know, it's these kind of things that make it, yeah, I get in trouble too. I have a bad sense of humor sometimes. That gets me in trouble too.
So, on that note, I've always I've noticed that.
Yeah.
I've always wondered. So this must have been your creation, your slogan, 10 to 20 inches of pure satisfaction.
That was some character out of he still calls me out of San Diego.
Really?
Yeah, he still calls me. he's obnoxious. I put him on speakerphone just so everybody else can listen to him.
I do. You guys have to put up with it too.
No, my managers. I get everybody laughing because this guy's a character. He came up with 10 to 20 inches and he told me to put him on a condom. So we did. He laughed so hard. So I put some jerseys up, condoms. You know, 10 to 20 inches of pure satisfaction. You know, keep the kids out of trouble.
Great.
You know, yeah, I mean, you got to be careful. But I mean, you know what? Hey, look, they cost me $1 a piece. And I don't give them to everybody, but you know, if one kid doesn't get pregnant because of that condom, it's worth $1,000.
That's
right. It's worth every bit.
That's
right. Kids are gonna do it. You're gonna do it, man.
Well, yeah.
So some might be embarrassed to go to the store to buy them, and if they got them, or maybe just because they got them, they're gonna use them. I don't know. Or, what if they were gonna use? Well, they're gonna do it anyway.
Well, and everybody does matchbooks and pens. Why not something else?
Yeah,
yeah, totally. But yeah,
there you go.
Something useful.
But then they got outdated, so. Yeah. You got to use those.
That's fun. That's a little inside baseball that I wouldn't have guessed that's where
that's advertising.
That's advertising.
Right.
That's funny. Does social media pretty much take the place of, you know, in I don't know, it seems like just in my lifetime that social media thing seems to be such a line in the sand of the way things were sort of before it and now in this world of, and do you get any sense of that at all? Or is it just,
I think it's just an additional thing. Like it's just it's a fairly successful, easy, free thing for me. That's
free
really
thing.
Why I've gone that route. I think the radio ads, I think being the paper, better signage,
you need signage.
These are things that are not replaceable by social media.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Social media is just a nice additional thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I don't want to take up like a ton more of you guys' time. Just again, being in it for just, you know, a year on your own for a year. First of all, how long did you spend, as you were working in restaurants and other places, how long did you spend kind of cooking up some idea of what you wanted to do for yourself someday?
Oh, I have notebooks and notebooks full of 50 different, a ton of recipes, ton of different restaurant concepts. Oh, here's my coffee bar recipe. Or, oh, this is my my seafood concept. This is my specifically Latin seafood concept. Mm-hmm. This is my bakery concept. Mm-hmm. This is all over the board. Very, like, from comfort foods to, like, elaborate. And it's fun to read through them because some of the ideas are great. I'm like, oh, that was a good idea. And some of the ideas are horrible. So it's pretty fun to look through and just see where my brain was over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And just kind of realize that certain concepts work in different communities based on where I was in my life at that time. Like, that was something when moving back here, I was telling you earlier, like, I've always wanted to try and do, like, a really good sandwich place.
Mm-hmm.
But moving back to Soldat now, I was like, honestly, there's a lot of gaps in the market food-wise. Sandwiches are taken care of. If you want a good sandwich, you can go to Jersey Sub, you can go to Odie's. There's good options in town already. I was like, that seems like an odd choice for me to make that my focus.
Yeah.
That just isn't something that we need when we have so many other gaps.
Yeah.
That would be a great thing that we could build in our community, mm-hmm. culinarily.
Yeah. And so, you know, after, you know, having thought about it for so long and wanting to do this and seeing it to fruition, to at least, you know, to this sort of beginning stage, has it been sort of what you hoped and thought it would be?
Yeah, I guess it's still pretty early. It's been
still new.
It is. It's all still really new. We're still kind of figuring out exactly what this business is going to be. And I kind of like that we're kind of leaving it a little bit flexible. As we figure out what works and what doesn't work in this kind of mobile concept that we have. We haven't quite put in, we don't have a set kitchen that we have all this equipment that we invest in this equipment, we mm-hmm. need to be using this equipment. Like, it's kind of nice that we can kind of figure out exactly as we're rotating through different menu ideas, be like, well, people love that ramen day that we did, or you know what, people didn't really love this other thing that we did. So
yeah.
It's nice to be able to kind of figure out exactly as we were trying things out and seeing what our community really is asking for.
Yeah. And kind of on that note, I'm curious, Chris, over the years, has your menu changed a whole lot, or does it sway with the local tastes, or how did it come to fruition? And
you have certain ones that stay.
Yeah.
And that's it. And after that, some come, and if they make it, it's like the meatball. I got rid of it. I don't know how many times. And people complained, and I brought it back. The problem with meatballs is, like he does, is you'll sell 6, 7, 8 meatball sandwiches in a day, and then you won't sell one for 2 days. Mm-hmm. Well, what are you gonna do with the meat? Now you gotta throw them out. Well, the salt, you gotta be hot and ready to go. Mm-hmm. Well, the sauce breaks down, mm-hmm. and then you gotta pitch it. Okay, so now you just lost money. So, yeah. I mean, you gotta make money. But Kenai has a few new things because they have a deep fryer. It has homemade deep fried pickles and homemade poppers, and they're really good. I don't know why they don't sell more, but our homemade poppers are really good. And the pickles, I'm not a big pickle person, but then we have fries now. And chili fries, homemade chili. Mm-hmm. And we tried doing homemade French fries, but I failed. So I just really couldn't get a good fry. That's how I get my fries frozen. They're the shoestring, which I like. Mm-hmm. McDonald's, hey, they got good fries. I'm sorry, man. I wouldn't eat your burger, but they got good fries. And so we use a shoestring fry, and then we have homemade chili. That's a new one. And some things, yeah, I tried doing chicken wings. I love chicken wings. And I failed on that, too. So, and I really love pizza. And I don't know. I make my own pizza because I got my own dough. But,
right.
If you're going to do it right. Now I need a pizza oven. And you're going to do it. And I have the location. It's all set up in Kenai. It's all set up. Beer and pizza. I got the cooler. The gas is run. I just have had a hard enough time getting people to make a hoagie right that I don't know if I could get them to do a pizza too. But that's kind of, I've been working on that all winter actually. I make a little bar pie now. It's a frozen. Awesome. Yeah, I do. I haven't sold them yet. Well, I kind of do, but you know what I'm saying?
It's, yeah.
Yeah, I got to be a little bit, once I get it more consistent.
Yeah.
The other thing is I was going to sell them like in stores, like at like Tesoro or whatever. Actually, I had Tesoro call me one time and they wanted to sell our sandwiches in all their like gas stations. I told them no. I said, I could have. That's just quality, man. It's quality control. I don't want them to, you know, how long that sandwich is going to sit in that Tesoro in that refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And I don't use any, no preservatives.
Right.
Especially on the bread, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, mm-hmm. I didn't. Yeah, it's to me, it was a quality thing. He might think about a panini or something. You know, get a little grill. I mean, they're not that expensive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah. you could add a grilled cheese panini sandwich. It's unbelievable at Joe's meatball shop.
Yeah.
Man, you should try Joe's grilled jalapeno panini, man. I'm serious. It's just an idea great. For you.
Yeah.
Totally. And then you'll get people in there. It's like, yeah, because, you know, and, okay, you got your panini. It's different. It's mm-hmm. special. You know, we tried paninis for a little bit, and to me, that was a pain in the ass. It really was. Mm-hmm. But you being by yourself and then you're doing it, and you might just hit it out of the park, you know.
And honestly, that's really what everything is coming off of panini press.
Is that what you got?
That's really what I'm working
on. Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, hilarious.
It was just an idea, you know. It's
a good idea.
Yeah, panini press. But the problem is nobody knows you're here.
Totally.
That's it. You got to get the sign.
The place with the magic mushrooms, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Magic mushrooms.
That's right here.
I want to ask a kind of a foodie type question of you. Not necessarily what is the secret to your bread, because that's your secret to your bread, but what is the secret to the consistency of it?
That's hard too, because, well, one, you got to get good flour, and of course you want to get all your ingredients right. Your salt. There's really not much to it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Bread is just salt, sugar, yeast. Mm-hmm. Of course, you put your mother ball in there, so we have a mother dough, and then I put a little beer in there too. Put beer, and the darker beer, the better. And then you have to age your dough, and then you can't beat on it too hard because it's like a living thing as it grows. Mm-hmm. If you beat it, it's not going to be nice to you. It's not going to rise well. It might not look good. And timing, the temperature of the dough. I mean, and when you take it out, when you roll it, and everything's handmade, so sometimes they're long and skinny, sometimes they're short and fat, and it's just a hard thing to do consistent-wise. And you got the weather. You got humidity. It'll change your bread. It'll change it.
Absolutely.
And you're like, what's wrong with our bread today? Is it, you know, maybe you got a bad bag of yeast. It's like, no, it's a brand new bag. So, well, maybe you did this or whatever. And
a lot of variables.
Yes, it is. And the soldat in the store is harder than the Kenai because it's so small and there's so much airflow. Mm-hmm. And the oven's so small. But Kenai, I got a mixer you could take a bath in. And the oven you can stand in.
So the secret to the consistency part of it is just paying attention.
Paying attention. Yep.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot of paying attention. The bread's hard. Why don't you get it down? Actually, I like making bread. Mm-hmm. I like doing it. Because you don't have to deal with anybody. It's just you and the bread. Mm-hmm. You don't have to answer the phone. You don't have to deal with the customers. Just put me back in my hole here and let me make bread.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. It's nice.
Would you keep it? Would you stay in the business if you could just do the bread and let somebody else worry about the rest of that stuff?
I think I've had enough bread making. I've made enough bread. Over so many million sold. There's a golden arch. Is there? Over a billion sold.
Oh, there you go.
Whatever it is. I don't know. It's a lot. I made a lot of bread.
A whole lot of subs sold.
I made a lot of bread.
Yeah. Well, it certainly shows. Well, guys, we've been at this for, 45 minutes already.
Good.
Are there any parting thoughts about what it is to be your thing?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, we talked about how awful it is, but which is accurate.
It is accurate.
It's super accurate.
That's why I told him before he wanted me to come on. I'm like, I don't think you want to hear what I have to say.
Right?
He goes, well, I can edit it. Because you're going to be doing a lot of editing.
But I said, you don't have to be a cheerleader industry.
No, I'm not going to paint a pretty picture. This is not all sugary. It's not.
You know? No, I love that. I've always told my staff in like different meetings, like, hey, everyone, we've all made mistakes.
We all make mistakes.
We've all made mistakes. That's why we're here today working in restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's something about it that I love, and I don't want to do other stuff.
Yeah, sometimes it's really rewarding.
There really is just something about it.
Like, I have
that hell is laughing. Just where I want to be.
Yeah, if you're laughing all day, it makes your job so much easier.
It's true.
It makes it so much easier.
It's less about the product that you're putting out, more about the people that you're spending the time with putting that product together.
Yeah.
That tends to be...
You got to enjoy it.
You have to enjoy it.
Now it's becoming kind of more... I don't enjoy it as much. I'm getting older, and I see, it's time for new blood. I'd like to take some time off.
Yeah.
Go do some prospecting or fishing or something, but anyway... He's still gung ho, man. He's still he's gonna be doing it.
Well, maybe this is the beginning of a new relationship, and Joe's gonna take over Jersey Subs, and
there
you heard it
go.
Here first, and that's how it's gonna be. Guys, hey, I just want to thank you both so much for taking some time and sharing a little bit about your experience, and really fun to talk to you.
That's good. Thank you very much for having us on.
You
bet.
Yeah.